Welcome, everyone. It was only a matter of time before that fuzzy white stuff showed up. I guess it's going to be a white Christmas, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, well, welcome, everyone, here to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today. There's a book there. Please sign your name there and pass it down so we have a record of your attendance today. In the back of the church are the 2017 offering envelopes. Please go pick one up. That'll make Carol very happy, make the church happy. Next Sunday is the annual Christmas party, the 18th. Please bring a covered dish and bring your own play setting. We look forward to that. And we're having a special children's sermon from Carol Kane. So I know that will be very special. Bring out your kids. We want to see lots of kids here. The other thing is, in the service today, again, for the Advent reading, there's a participatory section there. It'll be projected up on the screen, so please say that. Once again, we want to say that we're grateful to have Tom Clifton here back here again today for services. I think that covers it all. With that, I'll turn it over to Tom.
You're here. You didn't let snow stop you. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to see you. That we weathered this little, small little storm. It's just a preview of other things to come, isn't it? You're here. Thank you for being here. Let us be called to worship this morning. Leave your exile behind. God is calling us home. We'll follow the way through the desert. Enter the desert without fear. God's water will quench our thirst. We'll walk the highway of God's people. Travel the highway with joy. God is leading to life in abundance. He'll strengthen weak hands and support feeble knees. Will encourage the fearful, calm the anxious. Rejoice, be strong, God is with us. Come, come, let us worship, and let us join in praise. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Number 82, we rise together as we sing this epic song.
Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. in one voice together. We will confess our sins, and then in silence, you and I are invited to bring our own personal words of confession to God. Let us pray first together. We need you to speak to us, O God, because we have, each in our own way, forgotten your law, forgotten your love for us. We are in need of your deliverance because we have too often given ourselves to powers and practices that would destroy us. We are lost, in need of rescue. We have filled our lives and too often put our own judgment and desires over yours. We are lost, in need of light and hope and joy. Forgive us, dear Lord, and fill us with your light. In your name we pray. Amen. And now that we have confessed our sins, hear this. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now let us confess what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Jesus brought glory to a darkened world.
Now may you share your love and joy with one another as we rise and welcome and greet and bless our friends around us.
We wait for the one promised in Scripture.
And he will be called the Prince of Peace.
We wait for the one who can turn discord into perfect harmony.
And he will be called the Prince of Peace.
We wait for the one who can replace hate with love and anger with understanding.
And he will be called the Prince of Peace.
We wait for the one who can replace division with unity and war with peace.
And he will be called the Prince of Peace.
Today we light three candles. The first candle reminds us of our hope in knowing Jesus as our wonderful counselor. The second candle reminds us of our joy in knowing a God who is powerful and almighty. We light the third candle to remind us that Jesus came to earth as the Prince of Peace in a world filled with conflict and discord. We pray for harmony and unity as we work towards claiming the promise of peace on earth. Pray. Gracious God, gracious Lord, we thank you for your promises and for coming to earth to be our Prince of Peace. As we continue our Advent journey, grant us the peace that comes from trusting in your grace and relying on your promises. Help us to spread this peace through all the things we say and all the things we do. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now it's time for us to share our prayer concerns and to pray for the world and for one another.
Good morning. Good morning. We have a few prayer requests this morning. Connie Wagner is asking for prayer for her friend Carol and her family. And also, we have a few members of the congregation that also need our prayer. We ask that you pray for Lorraine Kelly. And also for Verna's husband, Ron. He's in hospice care right now. And for Jim Teggy, he is home from the hospital, but he does need our prayer. And then one thing Cliff did ask me to remind everybody, the Angel Tree gifts are due back on Sunday the 18th, wrapped and ready to go. Thank you.
Dear friends, let us join our hearts and minds together as we pray. Gracious God, we lift our voices and hearts to you, and we bring the deepest needs of our lives to present to you. Make us truly grateful for every symbol of good news that is around us at this season. In the music and the decorations, in the friendships, in the school plays, in the TV specials, all around us, celebration of good news. May our hearts be full of your goodness and your joy. Today, as we come and worship, we pray that you will strengthen every heart gathered here this day, that we will all believe in your Advent promise, that one day we will all walk in the holy way of Christ, where sorrow and sighing will be no more, and the journey for everyone, for all people, will be a journey for joy. And as we look forward to that day, we pray that you will strengthen us for the work and for the calling that is ours now in this day. Help us to be faithful in encouraging one another. Help us to be mindful of those who are orphaned from violence or catastrophe of some kind, for those who are hungry, for those in their silence who are suffering alone, for everyone who is abandoned or imprisoned by fear, for all of the sick and hurting. We especially remember Carol and her family today, Lorraine and Ron and Jim, these who have been named among us. Give your strength and healing and encouragement and love in a special way to each of these and to those that we bring to you in our hearts. Oh God, make our lives to be a sign to the world of your presence in our lives. For you are the source of strength that enables us to live in good relationship with one another, to forgive our enemies, to care for our neighbors in this world where you have placed us. Oh God, we want to be your people in every way that you call us, summon us today. And so we've gathered to honor and worship you, that we can be sent from this place to all of the places that your love needs to go. Send us renewed by your goodness and love. As we praise you now in worship, and as we pray in the spirit and an example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now join in music once again as we sing and as we praise God in hymn number 79, Light Dawns on a Weary World. We rise together to sing. Please be seated. That's a new hymn, and a new hymn for me, and it's so beautiful and so appropriate for what we've been hearing this Advent in Isaiah and looking together at God's promises. The trees shall clap their hands, the dry lands gush with springs, the hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. Listen for that through this service. That theme you will hear again today. And now may we worship God as we bring our gifts of love and devotion.
God, accept our praise and our thanksgiving to you this day that we make with our hearts and with our gifts. May we give and love and serve, rejoicing in your goodness this and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from two different ones. The first one is Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocuses, it shall bloom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of the Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompenses. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue and the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their hands. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The second reading comes from Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent words by his disciples and said to them, Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense to me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear a soft raiment are in kings' houses. Why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he who comes is written. Behold, I send a messenger before the face who shall prepare the way before thee. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heavens is greater than he. Bless the reading.
Let us pray. O God, today may we hear in our hearts your voice, the voice that can truly save, the voice that can reach into our deepest despair and into the alienation of the world. O God, today, let us hear your voice. Amen. If someone were to offer you a ticket to get into a time machine, this is science fiction now, a time machine that could go back where you could visit any place, any event in the Bible, where would you choose to go? Now, you would probably need to think about that for a bit to know what your choice would be, but I've thought about it, and I know exactly where I would like to go in this time machine. I would like to go to where Paul and Silas, are imprisoned. This is in the book of Acts, where they are imprisoned in a Philippian jail. I would choose that over any of the battles that are talked about, or any of the miracles of the whole Bible. Of all of the places that I could go, of all the scenes that I would want to see, this is the one that I would like to be able to give witness to, be able to see. The story tells us that Paul and Silas were flogged. And that, in other words, they were whipped severely there in Philippi. 40 stripes minus one. That means 39, if you're counting. And if I were receiving the lash, I would be counting. Five times, it says in the New Testament, Paul has experienced this. Five times. You know the pictures of these people you see, the slaves before the Civil War, and they would take pictures of the backs of the slaves and all of these scars? That must have been Paul, absolutely. His back must have been filled with scars from five times receiving the lash. And we also know that three times he was beaten with rods. Think of a baseball bat. A couple times, or three, he was shipwrecked at sea. One time he was a day and a night in the water. And so here are Paul and Silas. They are arrested and they were thrown in the deepest, innermost parts of the prison. Now, to be in prison is to be in hell. I read a New York Review of Books article just a few days ago about what solitary confinement in the United States in this modern time is like. And truly, it's to be in hell. They say that once you've smelled the stench of this, because the sanitation all around you is terrible, and the food can hardly be called food. That's a modern prison. This is 2,000 years ago. They were thrown into the innermost parts of the prison. Their legs were chained to stocks. I don't know how they got a bathroom break. I don't even want to think about it. They had been beaten severely. They thrown into the innermost cell. Their feet chained in stocks. And then it says, and this is what I want to see, if I could go back. It says that at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were singing hymns and praying and praising God. And that all of the prisoners were quiet. And they were listening. After all of that, Paul and Silas can't keep from singing. Well, that's the theme. That's the theme of Advent. We are never promised an easy life. And I bet every one of you is saying in your heart today, I know that's true. I bear witness to that. We are never promised an easy life. Apostle Paul, Exhibit A, you and I, Exhibit B, Exhibit C. But we hold up for one another this vision of Advent. And we keep singing anyway. Isaiah gives the vision. It was in the hymn that we sang just a few moments ago. Isaiah's vision. It's a vision, first of all, of creation. Creation singing. Creation bringing forth in praise. It says that the desert will become filled with water, and the crocus will blossom everywhere. The dry land will be watered. And then it says that the people, God's people, will be in the fullness of God's blessing. The fullness of God's blessing. The blind see. The deaf hear. The lame leap like a deer. I can envision that one. I watch the deer jump over my fence. So graceful. So easeful. They just fly over my fence. The speechless sing for joy. And then Isaiah says there's a highway, and God's people walk the highway. They walk the highway in joy. And it says that no traveler gets lost. Actually, it uses the word fool. No fool gets lost. I don't care how much you're directionless. I don't care how, you know, some people get in the car and they can't find the way to the supermarket. They just don't know where they are. But not on this highway. In this highway, everybody knows the way. Even a fool knows the way without a GPS. That's the Advent vision. That's the Advent vision. And it's a vision that I hope that you'll take as a picture and keep in your mind and keep in your heart, a priceless treasure. That's why I love the scene of Paul and Silas singing in the midnight hour. And how many times have you been blessed when someone you know is in deep darkness and they keep singing? And I can tell you for a fact that the reason I don't give up when I want to give up is because of all of those people. Those who've gone before me, those that I've known in this world, who kept the vision, who in difficult moments of their lives kept singing, kept joyful, trusted God regardless of what the outward circumstances were saying. They trusted God for everything. I want to be a part of them. I want what they have. And you know, the beautiful thing here is that this kind of faithfulness in difficulty is never possible unless we do this together. Together. By ourselves, none of us is good enough. None of us is strong enough. None of us is smart enough to keep the song going by ourselves. The biblical witness here is consistent from beginning to end. We need each other. We need each other to keep the song going, to keep the vision alive. We can't do it by ourselves. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. We do it together. And so Isaiah's vision here that we read this morning is one in which we reach out to one another. He says, strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. You see, giving each other strength and power by our presence, by our prayers, by our encouragement. And then he says, say to those of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. We strengthen and bless and encourage and pray for one another. We hold each other's hands. We hug each other. We make phone calls. We send cards. We see and rejoice in the presence of other people. We let other people know, I'm with you. You're not alone in this. Call on me when you need help. We never make this by ourselves. We do it together. Together. Helping one another, strengthening one another, blessing one another. That's how we make it down the highway that God has prepared for us. One of my favorite readings each day, and I do it almost every day, is to read the obits in the New York Times. We get the paper 5 days a week. Some people have thought that was strange when I tell them. Almost the first thing, well, after I check the Pirates and the Steelers and the Penguins score, the sports page, I go to the obits. There's so much to learn there. So much to learn about the people who have made a highway for us. I discovered one this past week, as someone I had never heard of before. Her name is Nancy Mayers. She died this past week. She was 73 years old. I'm 73 years old. For one more day. A day and a half. The paper, the obit, described her this way. A lifetime of disease and suffering led her to write. She was a writer. For more than 40 years, Nancy Mayers had MS, multiple sclerosis. That was one fact of her life. The other fact, the obit said, was that in her 30s, she had a religious awakening. She had a conversion to faith when she was in her 30s. And the writer said, it shaped how she saw the world. And suffering and death. Well, of course it did. That's what religious faith does. It shapes us. We see the world in a special Advent kind of way. We face our suffering and our hardships and our trials in a special Advent kind of way. We know this is not the end. This is not it. This does not define me. This is not where I'm going to end. We get shaped in a special way. And she was. What I love about her, one of the things I love about Nancy Mayers as I read this article, was she just kept good humor all through her trials. She had a lot more bad things happen to her than just MS. She kept her humor. One of her books carried the unlikely title on being a cripple. She didn't care for politically right language. Like, we try to say things that are sensitive, don't we? We try to find what's the appropriate language we should use now. And she said, don't call me differently abled. I'm crippled. And when she was unable to walk at all, she decided that she was going to visit her daughter in Africa, who was in the Peace Corps. Everybody told her, Nancy, you can't even walk. Don't do this. This is too dangerous. This is not something you can handle. And she decided to do it anyway. And she writes about this in one of her books. I did read part of that. I haven't read anything by her except this one excerpt from one of her books. It was entitled, Where I Never Dreamed I'd Go. She went to the Congo. It used to be called Zaire. When she got there, she was entertained by one of the villagers who decided that she needed to see this special pool of fish in this pond. And the pond was quite a distance away. And so she said, how am I going to get there? And he said, get on my back. And she writes of going down this road, riding piggyback on this man's back. She found fun and laughter and humor and joy everywhere she went. And she wrote in one of her books, which I hope someday to read, she says, to refuse to suffer is to refuse fully to live. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that tell you something about what it means to be a human being? Suffering is a part of life. Let me let you hear it again. To refuse to suffer is to refuse fully to live. And so I want to ask this question. What is it with these people? What is it? Paul and Silas in the innermost cell, having been whipped, beaten, chained in the darkness, singing and praying at the midnight hour. People like Nancy Mayers, riding piggyback, laughing, going down the road to see some strange fish thousands of miles from home. You see, people like that have been captured by a vision that is more real, more lasting than anything you can name. It's a vision. It's an Advent vision. It's the vision of creation, all creation, being renewed from a desert to a garden. It's a vision of people like us, fully healed and made whole. We will be, you will be, fully healed and made whole. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame dance, the speechless sing, even tone deaf people. My wife says, don't sing in the microphone. I'm going to sing someday. We stay with the vision together. Together. When I am weak, you're there to strengthen my hands. When you are weak, I am there to make firm your feeble knees. When our hearts are fearful, we speak words to one another. Be strong, do not fear. The vision of Isaiah is more real than the ground we walk on. It is more powerful than any army that has ever been formed. We're marching to Zion. Isaiah says of us, everlasting joy, not temporary, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. So how can we keep from singing? Do you know that hymn Robert Lowry wrote? It's in your new hymnal. I checked. I'm sure you're going to sing it. I hope you sing it often. Do you know it? My life flows on in endless song. Above world's lamentation, I hear the sweet though far off hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die? The Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round? Songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. I notice that some of the hymnals have changed that. I've heard it a different way, that part. Some have written, since love is Lord of heaven and earth. It doesn't make any difference, does it? It's the same word. Since Christ is Lord, since love is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? Well, I hope you can't. Creation is singing. The people of God marching down God's highway who've gone before us, they're singing. And the beautiful people around us in this world that are suffering terrible hardships and terrible heartache and have lost so much in life, they're singing. So don't quit now. Don't quit now. Keep singing. Amen. The word has been proclaimed, and let us join in response with the singing of our hymn and the giving of our lives to all of what God calls us. We rise to sing hymn number 80. You shall go out with joy. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. Isn't that beautiful? We did that once before, didn't we, Mickey? I wanted to get us dancing in a circle. Such a beautiful, wonderful hymn. And so appropriate for with the vision of Advent that God calls us into now. To be the people of joy, regardless of what life has done to us and given to us, we are not alone. We have each other. And we have God's promise of his presence, power, and love for every step of the way. So go out in joy, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the strength and power of the Holy Spirit guide and direct us now and forevermore. Amen.